the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It feels so good. Amen. I just felt a quickening in my spirit, in my body, which I kind of need right now. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this evening.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For thou, O Lord,
Lord,
and I exalt thee.
Early let us turn. Fridays are taco sale, so anybody that can lend a hand, and I sure appreciate it.
The orders are coming in already.
They're coming in already. And the Lord give us, bless us,
yes.
Bless our sale. And plus, this weekend is a Lake County Fair, so hopefully that will, amen, bring in some business. We just gotta pray. As I said earlier, Brother Chuck and Sister Linda are planning on coming down that, on that week. I'm not sure if it starts the 22nd. I might be off. Might be off. The 22nd falls on Monday or what?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, so it's that week anyway, so pray for them. They're looking forward to being in fellowship with us and everything, so. Hallelujah. So, be nice. Spend some time in fellowship. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody comfortable?
Yes.
Cool enough in here? My temperature on the truck said it was 94 degrees. So I know it's always pretty accurate within 2 degrees. So I know it's a little warm. Temperature's a little warm. So I'm glad we can be a little comfortable. Not too comfortable, but a little comfortable. Praise God. So good to be in the house of God again.
Amen.
We just need to keep on keeping on doing what we can, living for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord certainly is good. He's always worthy to be praised. He's always worthy of praise. And that's one thing I appreciate about him. And it's just like, allowing ourselves just to, keep our eyes upon him, look to him, feel after him, give him all the glory that's due to his name. We need to do that. It's an ongoing process of yielding yourselves, as Paul said,
right.
Amen, your body as instruments of righteousness, and allowing him to move in your life. And to understand what he's doing.
Right. Yes.
To understand what he's doing. There's a lot of things happening.
Oh, yeah. Right.
This world's a crazy place, is all
yes,
I can say.
Oh, yeah.
Try not to be too, what's the word I'm looking for? Judgmental, I guess. But when you see what's going on and taking place, it's just, I'm glad that we know the Lord, because it would be pretty difficult, I guess, if we didn't. Obviously it would be, but all the things that are happening, and for us to, amen, be in the midst of all it, I'm glad that we do know the Lord and we know the truth and we can walk in the light of it. Because that's what's going to be the very thing that's going to keep us. If we have that as our, amen, our guide, as our strength, we can keep our minds on the Lord. I was listening to Brother Jeff Arnold. My wife was listening to Brother Jeff Arnold. And he was trying to, get everybody just to get into what he was preaching, and he was having a difficult time trying to, be a spiritual cheerleader. And sometimes you have to do that, try to get people motivated.
Amen.
It's not an easy task, trying to get people motivated. Get people feeling what you're feeling, and amen. When you know the Lord, there's just a complete difference. When you know the Lord, uh-huh, it's a big difference in your attitude and how you conduct yourself and your behavior, all that. all that plays into it. But, and he was telling everybody, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yep.
Because if you're not keeping your eyes on Jesus, you're going to be looking somewhere else.
Yeah.
Might be looking out there in the world, or you might start to look at your neighbor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
True.
Got to be careful.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah.
Did you know that? Here's something, and I'll be getting here to the word here. Hopefully, give us some understanding. How to receive, in a sense, correction. Mm-hmm. But you can't receive correction unless you have conviction. Does that make sense?
Yes.
A lot of times we're how can I say, I don't know, the way we respond to certain things. And God's speaking to us. He's speaking to us not just as a whole. There's a lot of people in here. Wow. And I'm not going to count who's all here, but there's quite a few of us here. Have a lot of empty seats. But, amen. But when God speaks to us, obviously he's speaking to you and I individually. Personal. The message is personal right now. Everything about what's going on in here is personal. It's him speaking to you directly,
right,
by the word. And he's not just speaking to us individually, he's speaking to us as a whole.
Yeah, right.
We always get ourselves kind of, in a sense, we get ourselves mixed up, because sometimes when we hear something and we hear it and we go, wow, that's good, that's something. And of course, it's something that has to deal with, you know, the Lord lining us up. We always tend to take what we hear and we never apply it to ourselves.
Yeah.
We apply it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, don't think that it's not for you.
Right.
Because it is for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't take what you're feeling and the conviction you feel, you can't take that and you can't push it off to somebody else.
Right.
Because that's what we always tend to do. Oh, they need to hear that. They needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, we all need to hear.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
And here's the thing, you know, and you know, Paul was talking about not looking at any person in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know what he meant by that? Does anybody know what he meant by that?
Don't let your carnal self look at.
Don't look at somebody through your carnal mind. He said, he made the reference that we did know the Lord, we seen him physically, but you know, we looked at him, we seen it, but guess what, we're not looking at him that way anymore. We know that he's here. Obviously his presence is here. We look at spiritually.
Yeah.
So we never look at one another, because we can look at one another, and if that's where you're going, guess what, let me tell you something, you're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Amen. I've been around this thing long enough, I guess I have the experience, and hopefully you can understand where I'm coming from.
Amen.
Because I've been, you know, I've sat under two very, how can I say it, knowledgeable and anointed men of God. I'm going to say something pretty intense. Pretty intense. Talk about having to prove yourself.
Yeah.
But in order for us to understand the way God moves for us, and I'm saying this because this is something that I believe that always has to be dealt with in a body, in a church, is to be able to walk together in unity and walk together in the light of God's word. That's what God called us to do. He called us to walk in the fellowship. What did he say? The fellowship of his spirit.
Yes.
That's the only way you and I can ever exist together.
Right.
Because if we don't, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be having some pretty hard times because we're not, you know. Human nature is really complicated.
Oh, yeah.
Human nature is sinful. And if we don't keep ourselves in check, we're always going to be questioning.
Yep.
There's a word that comes to my mind, and it's always, sometimes it's always applied to study, but they talk to about apologetics. Anybody know what that means? But I'm not going to be apologetic about the Word of God.
Amen.
And I want to keep my focus on God's Word. You know, and here's the thing. Being who I am, obviously I'm nobody. Just let me tell you, I am nobody. But God called me. So here I am. I'm doing my best to answer my calling, to exercise the gifts that God gave me to minister the Word of God. I'm doing my best. And amen. And we all know what that's like, don't we?
Yeah.
To do your best for God. Living for God. Let me tell you something. Living for God is a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because you have a lot of things that you're dealing with. A lot of movement around you. Temptation, trials, tribulation, you name it. It's distractions, it's all there. And here you are, you're trying to keep yourself in that place with God that you need to be in. All this stuff.
Yep.
The devil wants you to pay attention to him.
Amen.
And he's going to cause all kinds of distractions. He's going to. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of everything that goes along. Our objective when we come into the house of God is to be able to connect with him.
Amen.
If you haven't figured it out by now, then you need to realize.
Yeah, that's right.
Is to connect with him. When we come into the house of God, guess what? We need to reach out and, like Paul said, feel after him.
Yes.
Touch him.
Yes.
Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you.
Yes.
So we have to make that connection. We have to plug into the very person that's our source of strength and our source of life. It's an ongoing, and if I want to say it this way, it is a challenge. It is a challenge because we're battling with our humanity,
yes.
Our carnal nature.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're battling with it. That's the reason why a lot of people, it's hard for them to live for God. I guarantee you that's a good percentage of the reason why a lot of them aren't here this evening.
Right.
Yeah.
Besides other things, sin, the world, you name it. So, but I want you to understand something. Turn with me in your Bibles. We'll start there. I guess we'll start in the book of Genesis. Let's go back way to the beginning. And you see something there in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and I may have taught this in a sense, I don't know, it's been a while, I don't think I've taught it since we've been in this building, but I'm gonna teach it. Well, it's the only way I can say teach. I don't know if I'm gonna teach or preach. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna obey the Lord. That's all I'm gonna do.
Amen. All right,
Jesus. But to understand what's at stake, because sometimes we don't understand what's at stake.
Yep.
Why it is certain things are going on.
Yeah.
But you see here in chapter 3 of Genesis, in verse number 22, it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil." Man, I tell you what, the Lord gave me this thought this afternoon, and I was thinking about it, and of course he gave me a direction to go, but I was thinking about this, on what he said there, to know good and evil. Man, when I came across that, and right away something just took a hold of me, and I was thinking, oh no, just hold on a second. But that's the way it is when we experience sin. We get a taste. You get a taste of both worlds. Okay? So it says, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Man was in that state where he experienced what it was to know good and evil, sin. And so the Lord basically said, I don't want him to take part of the tree, eat of the tree of life, so he can live forever in his sin. Basically, that's what he didn't want to happen. He didn't want man living forever in his sin. So that kind of gives you a little bit of understanding about the power of the tree of life. So you think about that. So he says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see this. Because Adam became knowledgeable about sin, the Lord said, we can't have it. So what we got to do? Well, we're going to have to evict him from paradise. We're going to have to keep the way of the tree of life. So we're going to evict him from paradise. Did you ever think about this now? Here's an interesting thought. When we talked about Adam being taken from the dust of the ground, you know where that ground was situated? You know where it was located? Does anybody know?
In paradise.
He's taken from a beautiful place. a fruitful place. Yeah. And so, but what happened? Sin. Sin came into the picture through the serpent, and then, you know, the Bible says it was passed down through their obedience. Because of one man, everybody became sinners. So it made its way. It infiltrated and it defiled. It just totally... Here's the thing about sin. Listen to this. This is interesting. It distorted their world. It distorted their world. So what you're seeing right out here, right now in the world, you're seeing that the Word of God play out, and you're seeing lives just so distorted.
Right. That's right. Amen.
Things aren't what they really should be. If we could realize what it is to go back to that time before sin even came and how beautiful it really was,
right,
we would be at awe. We'd be going, wow.
Yeah.
Some of you think about, you know, such a place where you can go and you can experience something where you're just alleviated from all your worries, your troubles, your trials, your pains, everything. There is such a place.
Yes.
Amen.
Let me tell you where it's at.
Right. Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It's in here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
But the thing is, we have the opportunity to come and to experience it, to receive it.
Yes.
We're given that opportunity every time.
Right.
Come back into paradise.
Amen.
Okay? But here's the thing about it. When we come back into paradise, we're making our entrance into that place. Guess what's going to happen? Guess what's standing in our way? Well, yeah, that's one. But what did he place there?
Cherubims
and a flaming sword. So here's the thing. He said to keep the way of the tree of life. To keep the way of the tree of life. He placed that cherubims and a flaming sword. It's really interesting. You look up that definition in the Hebrew and it means this. The... an enchanted sword.
Wow.
Enchanted. Why is it enchanted? Well, there's something about God and His Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
People can't explain.
Yeah.
People can't explain this right here.
Right. That's right.
They can't.
Nope.
The carnal mind cannot receive the things that be of God. We can't. It's enchanted. There's things in there that we could probably, and we're like that. We see certain things in it, we go, wow, we get moved by it. But did you realize this? The only way we can experience them, the only way we can experience it, the only way we can receive and really know what that is for us is this. There's only one way we can do it. There's only one way we can do it. That's facing that cherubim and that enchanted sword. Ooh. So that explains conviction. Every time we come into the house of God, I know, not unless you're really totally overwhelmed, engulfed, if you're case hardened with sin, you won't feel conviction. But if you're somewhat sensitive to the Spirit of God, when you come in here, you're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because you're coming into His presence, the presence of, amen, the living God. Amen. So you're just going to be a little bit offset. You're going to feel like, man, what is it? Well, guess what? You're walking into the presence of God.
Right.
You're coming, amen, before the cherubim and the flaming sword.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Ought to lead us to a place where you know, we feel that. We feel that. That, how would I say? The awe.
Yeah.
Okay? So there it is. And he says, he placed cherubims and a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life. Listen, to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, you won't be able to access eternal life because that cherubim and that flaming sword are going to keep the way of the tree of life. The only way that you're going to approach it, and the only way you can access and receive from the tree of life, is to face the sword.
Wow. Wow.
Let me tell you something. Let's just say, if this is our goal right here, let's say, where our emblem is. If this is the tree of life, and you want to come up and receive from the tree of life, guess what's standing in your way right now?
Right.
So for you to access it, guess what? You're going to have to face the sword. Cherubims and a flaming sword. You're going to have to face it. So you're going to come. Guess what's going to happen? Amen. He's not just going to stand there.
Right. Lord. Wow.
Man. So I say it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
We come in here and it's a challenge. We come in here and it's just like, you know, you ought to feel conviction.
To
an extent. You ought to feel a little bit uncomfortable to a certain extent. Your flesh ought to feel that.
Amen.
Your flesh ought to feel the fear of God to a certain extent. Why? Because you're facing the sword.
Amen.
And if you want access to the tree of life, guess what?
Wow.
You've got to. The sword has to cut you. We know that at times, isn't it? We get preached to and we feel, I'm saying that to, you know, to be humorous, because it's something serious. We feel it, and dealing with us. Dealing with us, and it slices, it cuts deep, like the Bible says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word will cut you deep.
Yes.
Amen.
And you feel it and you go, wow. And a lot of times when it happens, it's like, yes, we do feel uncomfortable. Yes, we do get offended. We get mad because, man,
right.
Please don't take it personal.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't tie it to the preacher.
Amen.
Don't tie it to the preacher.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So
As the Lord, go with me to the book of Psalms. Amen. 45. Psalms 45. Just a little piece of scripture here. Psalms 45. Verse number 3, I believe it is. It's a picture of, amen, God, of the Lord. Look what it says. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. With thy glory and thy majesty. So he is always having his sword girded upon his side. In other words, he's got it strapped to his side. Remember the picture in the book of Joshua when the judges, when they were going into the promised land, and Joshua was there spending time alone, and he looked up and he seen, amen, somebody standing there all outfitted with armor and his sword drawn. So he asked, who are you for us or for our enemies? He says, nay, as captain of the Lord's host. And the Bible said he had his sword drawn.
Praise God.
Can you imagine seeing that?
Wow. No.
Ready for battle.
Yeah.
Wow. Ready for battle. Ready to thrust his sword. Amen.
Amen.
He's ready for conflict. So think about that. We come in here and if we're confrontational, why is that so important to us? Because he's got to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. So you think about this now. Here's something really beautiful. Go with me to Psalms 22 and look at this now. This is, and everybody knows this is a prophetic Psalms of the crucifixion of Christ. And you go to Psalms 22 and verse number 11, it says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and as a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bones. Can you imagine what he was experiencing physically when he was hanging on that cross? You're just now getting a description of that. He's describing of what he's going through physically. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. My strength hasty to help me. But look what he says. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Deliver my soul from the sword. Now, why would David say that? Of course, it's a prophetic psalm speaking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Deliver my soul from the sword. He was feeling and he was suffering the wrath of God for you and I. He was experiencing everything that a sinful person probably would have experienced if he did not take our place. But he took our place. So as a result, guess what? He was delivered to the sword. So can you imagine everything he was going through? Everything he was experiencing, all the pain, the discomfort. You think about that. Wasn't just the physical, you know, you get a picture of it. The Bible says his visage was so marred than any man. The cruel scourgings and whippings and tearing flesh off of his body, exposing his bones and his nerves, and blood just coming out, and amen, all that he did for you and I. Why? Because he was facing that sword for us. He was facing it for us. Deliver my soul. Man, can you imagine? When he was in the Garden of Eden, he said this, "Oh, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." Obviously, he was feeling the full force of what God was going to do for him to take our place and to take our sins away. It's very prophetic. It's very prophetic. You see there, when you look in, and go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and you go to verse number 9. I'll let you get there. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." That he could taste death for every man. He tasted death for you and I. Woo! "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." Now look what it says. "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Woo! So everything he experienced on that cross was for you and I.
Right.
Yep.
"To make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings." He received, amen, that judgment. He received it. He faced and took the full brunt of God's wrath by the sword. My, think about that. Here you go into the book of Isaiah chapter 34. It's a beautiful passage of scripture in here. The book of Isaiah 34 and verses 5 and 6. Right around there. Let me see here. Verses 5 and 6 in Isaiah 34. It says, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. This is the Lord speaking. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Ooh. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. So every sacrifice, he's speaking, every sacrifice that was offered in the Old Testament covenant, guess what? That sacrifice was obviously, he said that sacrifice was, amen, as he said, his sword filled with blood. Every sacrifice was offered in God, amen, dissected, cut in pieces, every sacrifice. That was symbolic of God's judgment against sin. Think about that. My sword is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fatness of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Think about that. It's really interesting. The land of Bozrah. The land of Bozrah. He has the great sacrifice in Bozrah. Think about it. What does Bozrah mean? Bozrah means this. Bozrah means a sheepfold. It's an enclosed place, like a sheepfold. Amen. And so that's, amen, prophetic of the sacrifice that was going to take place in the land of Idumea. In other words, he was going to come and his judgment was going to fall upon his people. He was going to have a great sacrifice. So where did he go? He went to Bozrah. He went to the sheepfold. He went to that enclosure that housed the sacrifices for sin. Ooh, think about that. An enclosed place. In Isaiah 63, in verse number 1, it says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? In other words, he is coming from that sacrifice. He is blood drenched and blood dripping from his apparel. Speaking about Jesus. That's what he did for us. He had to go to the sheepfold of Israel. And there he found his sacrifice. So he took all that upon himself for you and I. He took the sword. He faced the sword for you and I. That's why the writer said, the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. Why? Because he was the one that was going to lead the way for you and I. Think about that. Think about that. So we come to that place, and whenever God comes to his sheepfold.
Amen.
He literally took and faced the sword for you and I. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He resurrected. He faced that sword for you and I, literally. And guess what? All we have to do. All we have to do when we come in to the sheepfold is we have to face this. Why? Because he shed his blood for you and I. That was the ultimate sacrifice. That was supposed to be our blood. But he shed his blood for you and I, so he was our substitute. He paid the ransom. And so all we have to do is, if we want to face the tree of life, guess what we have to do? If we want to come from the tree of life and partake of it, guess what we have to face? We have to face. Amen. Is that understandable? What God wants to do? What God wants to do for you and I, and praise God, we need to understand why it is sometimes when we feel the amen, the somberness and the seriousness of what it is to come into the presence of God, and then we're here and we face his sword, we face his word, and when he begins to do that work in us. Hallelujah. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You think about that. Conviction is something that we should always have. Conviction. And God is always wanting to deal with the sin that is there. God is always wanting to take care of any, amen, sin question. He does it through his word. He does it through his word. So when we come into the presence of God and we begin to, amen, open ourselves up to his word, and we can feel it. We can feel, amen, the sharpness of that two-edged sword, and it begins to dissect and cut, go into the deepest areas of our being. Just slicing.
Yeah.
But he's doing it for a reason. You need to think about it. It's sombering, isn't it? You think about what the Lord is saying, and for us to be able to come in here and subject ourselves to his word every time we come in here, and amen, just to humble ourselves to him, and amen, and it happens that way. It happens that way because the Lord is dealing with us. The Lord is, amen, helping us to grow, taking care of things that in our life that is not good. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You think about it. Just cutting things off. Things that we don't even need. Cut them out.
Amen.
Cut them out.
Amen.
Cut the sin out of your life.
Amen.
Cut them pieces off.
Yes.
Because we don't need them. Cup deep. It's God's will. It's the reason why he speaks to us the way he does, and for us to realize that, even understand that if we allow our flesh to override our will, guess what? We will be sinful creatures.
Yep.
We are sinful creatures.
Yeah.
But there's just that fine line sometimes where when you think about it, where we just teeter between the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. We just teeter. Go back and forth. Sometimes we're carnal minded, sometimes we're spiritual minded. Did you know that Jacob was like that? Every time Jacob was thinking with his carnal mind, you ever notice that scripture? They called him Jacob.
Yeah.
But when he thought about God's promises and he was thinking spiritually, they called him Israel.
Yeah.
He would go back and forth. Back and forth. Guess what? God doesn't want us going back and forth.
Amen.
He has a remedy for that.
Right.
Sword.
Amen.
To cut off those pieces that you and I obviously don't need. Whatever is there, he'll expose it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm praying for the Lord to minister to this body
yeah.
more perfectly through the gifts. I've been praying that.
Yes.
Because obviously there's things that go on that I don't know of. I'm ignorant. I'm a human being. I'm ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that way, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you feel. I don't know what you think.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true.
But God does.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
So I was praying, Lord, help me, because I want to be able to know so I can help.
Yes.
Not just me, but whoever in the body
yes.
you want to use.
Yes.
Amen.
Why? So that the body can be edified.
Yes. Right.
Because if we, and here's the thing, we will be found out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's right.
We will be found out.
Yes.
It's really important for us. So that's why the Word of God, when it comes and it just, it's the movement of that, of the sword, that enchanting sword, to keep, what does the Bible say? It turned every way.
Yeah.
So it's, to keep the tree of life, to keep the way of the tree of life. It turned every way. In other words, guess what? It'll come at us any direction.
Yeah.
Any angle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I always remember this. Brother Hancock was in Wagner the last time he came up to our last camp meeting. And of course God always uses him. God always used him for him, for the Lord to use him in the gifts of the Spirit. It's nothing. I mean, the word of knowledge, the gifts of healing, discernment of spirits, the word of faith, the gift of miracles, nothing. The gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, nothing. I mean, you can't. And when he was anointed, people would come around and he would walk up to him and he'd start to minister and it's like blow him away because he just totally read them like a book.
Wow.
And people would just step back and it was like, they were like, and of course, the response, hearing people, how did that man know that about me? And you know what? God used him like that. And I always remember, amen, you know, I spent a lot of time in fellowship with him. And of course, we did a lot of visiting. Brother Hancock is the kind of person that liked to sit down and drink tea and just, you know, talk. And he was a down-to-earth guy, talking. Man, his testimonies, him and I, we sit there and we just have a good time.
Yep.
And just, you know, really speaking about the word of God and certain things. But I noticed something. People didn't want to come around him. Because they knew if they did. And I thought to myself, why should you be afraid?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That is
If you don't have sin in your life, if you're not willingly sinning, why should you be afraid to walk up to the man of God, a prophet of God? And me, that was an opportunity. I took advantage of it because Brother Hancock and I have good friends, close. And we talk, but is this like people just kind of, even if they had to kind of go around and, but you know what, he said to me, he said, Brother Marshall, see that person right there? I said, yeah. And then he said, this is what's going to happen to them. And it's like, wow. Because when God's there and God's moving, guess what? When God's revealing, people don't fool around.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's what I'm praying for.
Yes.
I know I'm ignorant. But God isn't.
Nope. Right. That's right.
So I pray for that. God, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let your word just. I know what it's like. I know that feeling. Stepping into the presence of God, and of course, being around ministry with that level of anointing, and you just—it makes you want to get right.
Right.
Can't hide nothing from God.
Amen.
Can't be no ways.
Right.
It'll make you quit your gossiping.
Yep.
Backbiting.
Yep.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Make you quit your sinning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make you quit. You know why? Because that light will shine.
Yes.
And that light will reveal.
Yes.
So when that happens, people say, "Hey, man, I've got to get right. I need to quit living like this.
Yeah.
Right. I need to be right with God."
Yes.
Amen.
And so, amen. When we can have that and understand that's what is taking place. Man, Lord, help us to walk in such a attitude. Like I said, I'm a peaceful man. I just don't like, you know, all the ripples that come along when somebody throws a stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, we were down to Chautauqua, Kansas, and Brother Warren was preaching the night we got down there. The Lord uses Brother Warren in the gifts of the Spirit, of course, the word of knowledge. And he was ministering to people, and he helped me to ask him. He asked me to help him pray for people at the altar. So we did. We were praying for people at the altar. Got done. We were just standing there. There were still some people praying at the altar. So I was just standing there, just in case somebody else come up and I can go help him pray. And he was standing. And he looked at me. He came up to me and said, Brother Marshall, he said, Lord, show me something. I said, okay. He said, there's four persons that have come against you and have caused a lot of trouble for you. And right off the bat, I knew who he was talking about. I'm not going to tell you the names, by the way. He said, I want to let you know. You just keep on making a stand for God. Because God is going to take care of these people. I said, okay, thank you for that. He said, because they've attacked you and they've attacked your family. And he was right. And when he told me that was going to happen, I said, okay. He said, just keep on preaching the word. Mm-hmm. Keep on preaching it. I said, I will. I'll keep on preaching. But you know, we've gone through certain things. You know, this is all the years I've been in a ministry, I've never experienced what we have experienced here in Vermillion, especially in the past 3 years. Some of you folks know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And you know, and the thing about it is, it's not just people and their sin and their carnal ways, it's the spirits that they are filled with. And we've had to battle that. We've cast devils out.
Yes.
And that's the other thing he told me. He said, the Lord said he would take care of it for you. He said, vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. He said, touch not mine anointed. So I said, thank you, Lord. He said, but he's going to take care of it for you, Brother Marshall. I said, thank you. All I could say was, thank you, Lord. Because, you know, you do what you can to try to... Here's the way I'm a pastor. I've been in this ministry. I've evangelized. I'm a pastor. I evangelize. I'm a teacher. And God uses me now and then in a prophetic word, so I could probably call myself a prophet. I don't do that. But I've known men that called me a prophet. And you know, to be able to minister the word of God and to be able to keep the body in the place that it needs to be, I take that very serious.
Right.
And of course, handling everything I know as far as the scripture says to handle it, to keep everybody in a place where everybody is doing fine. Doing okay. Because I don't want to see anybody lost.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't want to see anybody lost.
Yeah.
And so I do what I can. And we've gone through that. And guess what? We survived it. And you know, this is no surprise to me. Some of you might be surprised by it. But this is no surprise to me that we only have a few in church right now.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Over the years, I've seen it where we've had good numbers and all of a sudden just... And it happens that it just goes, it just comes and goes. But here's the thing. What's really important is the ones that are there consistently.
Amen.
We're a few. But by the grace of God, we're still hanging in there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And we're here for souls. We're here for that, with that vision, that purpose of souls.
Yes.
Yep.
And so, but here's the thing about it, and I know this, and this is something that I've always felt about on my heart. I've been, you know, this burden and being able to fulfill. And I'm saying this because I want you to understand. Whether it's myself, whether it's Brother Aaron or Brother Dan, that minister, of course, we heard it last Friday. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All you young men. And the only way you're going to be effective at that, the only way you're going to make a difference is if you walk it.
Yep.
Hey,
and
yeah.
You live it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to be able to testify and preach.
Right.
Witness.
Yeah.
If you're living it, if you don't live it, hey.
Yep.
It's not going to make any impact.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to do our best as a fellowship to be able to hold up that standard and to preach the truth, preach the gospel in its entirety. Man, I haven't felt so how would I say impressed, and especially speaking with other preachers and other ministers that you know we know and that have come through, and you know what, that is what they're feeling. That's the burden they're feeling. That man, what we got to do is we got to go on with the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cannot back away from the truth, and we cannot compromise like everybody else is compromising.
Amen.
Amen.
So they always say, I'm glad that you're standing for truth. I'm glad you're standing for truth. That's what we all need to do. We need to stand for truth. We don't need a hold back, and we don't need to.
Right.
Yep. Amen. Jeremiah 48:10. It says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. You know what, saints, we definitely do, and of course, in this, as far as ministry is concerned, yes, that's his admonition for the ministry and the people of God. But we need to understand this every time we come into this place, and every time we enter the house of God, we're going to be facing. We're going to be facing the sword, the word of God. We're going to be facing. And in order for us to be able to partake of the tree of life, we're going to face the sword, and the sword is going to do a work in us. It's going to cut, it's going to slice, it's going to take away. We're going to bleed. There's going to be blood. But thank God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's keep it in that place. Let's keep it in that place. Amen. Because it is going to definitely make a difference for this church and this body. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're all accountable. I'm accountable. You're accountable. We're all accountable. Not one of us is exempt from that. We all have an obligation and a responsibility to do our part in this work. Amen. So let's come in here with that knowledge that in order for us to experience life, the tree of life.
Amen.
You know what the tree of life is?
Calvary.
Amen.
So in order for us to experience that, the sword is what we're going to face. We're going to always be facing it. But you know what? I'm glad.
Amen.
It's going to be doing a work in us. Thank you very much for coming this evening. Let's remember, anybody that's able to help with the taco sale Friday. And, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I haven't heard anything as far as any confirmation from Brother Gabriel Reynolds, Brother Timothy Longshore. I haven't heard anything yet, but as soon as I find out confirmation as far as dates, then I'll let everybody know. But as far as that is concerned, our schedule for August and September is pretty much open, so we won't be having any preachers, but Lord willing, we'll be getting some. When Brother Chuck comes, he'll probably minister to us while he's here, so look forward to him. Just keep in prayer and encourage one another. Amen. Let's do what we can for the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you and have a good evening. Thank you for coming.
There's vegetables.
Oh yeah, there's vegetables. Somebody wants to take some vegetables.